This is an Aero News Touch and Go for August 28, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The National Transportation Safety Board has released a preliminary report stating strong winds may have contributed to an Alaska Air Tour accident that claimed the lives of five people August 16th. The board says initial assessment of the wreckage of the de Havilland DHC-2 Beaver floatplane did not reveal any pre-accident mechanical anomalies. According to the NTSB report, a surviving passenger says the airplane started its takeoff run directly into strong winds, made a steep turn to the left, abruptly descended, and hit a tall stand of trees along the shoreline of the bay. The agency hopes to interview the pilot and tour guide soon. Both of them remain in the hospital. Australia's Civil Aviation Safety Authority announced on Monday that operators of Cessna 441 Conquest turboprops have been directed to ground their aircraft after reaching 22,500 hours on the airframes. Cessna announced on Friday it cannot assure the continued safety of the aircraft after that limit is reached. The potential defect is reportedly in the rear pressure dome and could lead to in-flight structural failure near the empennage. Australian Conquests with less than 22,500 flying hours may continue to operate normally. Cessna imposed the life limit after reviewing its structural maintenance program. A program is in place to manage the safety of the aircraft up to the limit, and CASA says ways to safely extend the safe operation of the Conquest beyond the current life limit are being explored. It's not Paris or Farnborough, but it's a start. The Moscow Air Show, which wrapped up on Sunday, reportedly netted $3 billion in new contracts for Russian manufacturers. Event organizers say that's up from $1 billion taken in during the 2005 show. By comparison, during this year's exhibition in Le Bourget, Airbus alone took in $88 billion in new business. The Moscow show was notable for a Boeing order from Alat Soyuz, which is controlled by the Moscow city government. As ANN reported, the charter carrier signed for four 737-700s. Analysts say the order underscores the need for Russia's homegrown airliners to advance to Western safety, noise, and emission standards. Curiously, one of Russia's brightest new prospects, the Sukhoi Superjet 100 regional aircraft, received little attention and no orders during the show. On the other hand, despite last week's grounding of all Sukhoi 24 bombers, following a crash in the Far East officials believe was caused by technical issues, the Moscow show reportedly brought in about $400 million in military-related business. Russia's state-owned arms trader reports that almost 800 companies from about 100 countries participated in the show. Delegations from China, the Mideast, Latin America made up the largest foreign presence. Moscow newspapers, though, reported poor event organization, leading to inadequate sanitary facilities and several traffic jams. The combination of fewer tourists, less business and convention traffic, and a smaller home population continues to spell trouble for Louis Armstrong International Airport in New Orleans. Today is the second anniversary of Hurricane Katrina's arrival. USA Today reports departures in July were 24% lower than those in July 2005. That was the last full month before the August 29th storm battered the city. The airport's deputy director, Maggie Woodruff, says the airport projects service to return to about 90% of pre-Katrina levels by the end of 2008. Louis Armstrong International has enlisted the help of aviation consultant Michael Boyd, who says the airport is doing everything it can to build service. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There, we'll tell you about these stories. The private space race moves on from the scaled composites tragedy. Columbia Aircraft recalls furloughed workers. And Boeing marks a big occasion at Everett. Also, check out our ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Bob Lieberman, president of Intelligent Optical Systems. He'll explain his company's LED incapacitator. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.